Thank you much indeed, Mr. Henderson, and good afternoon to you all. Some time ago in a sermonette, I spoke about the golden rule, that is, doing unto others as we'd like them to do unto us. I'd like to continue in that vein today, but now I'd like to address the topic of friendship. The connection may not immediately seem to be apparent, but I hope that by the time we're finished, I will have clarified the similarities between treating others in a really pleasant manner and friendship. Some may say that there is no problem in equating these two concepts. However, having a friendly disposition does require a willingness to be able to comply with the wishes of a third party, that is, another person. The question arises, why make a song and dance about this particular topic, particularly when some people see little or no difference between the two subjects, while others see very little connection? Abstract topics very often enjoy a very wide variety of description or definition. Everything depends upon the degree of friendship that one is talking about. And it depends, you know, which degree of friendship you're talking about, the criteria which one applies to the subject. Everything depends upon the degree of friendship, as I said. So, one particular point that crossed my mind is the fact that friendships nowadays appear to be very, very superficial. There appears to be very little time and depth of relationships nowadays. Marriages in the West do not last, or appear not to last, and in the novel Goodnight Mr. Tom, Tom, a widower, whose wife and daughter had died some years previously, described his wife as his best chum. Now, admittedly, that is a fictitious situation, but the actual sentiment expressed is very, very valid. Since the 1960s, we have witnessed the plummeting decline in the value of friendship. Like marriage, friendships are no longer considered to be vitally important, long-lasting relationships. This would seem to be the result of living in a now and me generation, a generation that focuses on the self. That generation outlook inhibits outgoing relationships for fear of being hurt or even rejected. So today, in the time available to me, I'd like to discuss friendship to show the extent to which this topic reaches. And in true Church of God of Wales tradition, I do have a number of points, but I do promise I'll finish today. Point number one, we have to understand what it makes, or what it is that makes for a degree of friendship to exist between two or more people. The simple answer is that we should apply the golden rule to our general code of conduct. We behave in such a manner that will enhance a feeling of cordiality. We genuinely and generally behave in a way that pleases the other person or group that we wish to have as our friends. If we now turn to the book of Proverbs and read verse 24 of chapter 18, we will see what King Solomon had to say about friendship. He recognised that friendship is a two-way emotional experience. If we wish to have friends, then we must respect the views and feelings of those that we wish to number among our friends. Here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 we read, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." You cannot be a friend to someone if you continually aggravate or annoy that person. Friendship requires a level of commitment to have an outgoing care for another person. It demands a desire to share not just time with that person, but to be prepared to share their disappointments as well as their successes and elation. You have to feel a sense of pleasure in the company of that person. Perhaps bonding is too close a term, but there has to be a bond that binds two or more people together in friendship. Then there is the second point of the proverb about sticking closer than a brother. That refers to the situation where one is prepared to go through thick and thin if necessary, facing danger together in a common bond of friendship and comradeship. It is caring for somebody, sharing with somebody, feeling for somebody in unselfish service to that somebody. Secondly, once we understand what is required in friendship, we have to understand the degree of commitment that must be shown to a friend. Friendship is not just a mere 10-minute tea and sympathy scene. It goes much, much deeper. And shortly after Passover supper in AD 31, Jesus Christ took friendship to a totally new level. I'd like now to turn to the Gospel account given by the Apostle John, chapter 15, and beginning in verse 12. In this passage, our Saviour laid out the extreme degree of friendship which he expects his followers to embrace. Life will not always be a bed of roses, and even if it were such, roses do have thorns. With beauty, there often comes some pain. Here in chapter 15, beginning of verse 12, we find these words. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I wonder if I have really grasped the full gravity of this particular phrase, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It does take some doing. 3 weeks ago, the BBC, on its news programme, showed a 26-year-old Lance Corporal Leakey of the Parachute Regiment, who had been awarded the Victoria Cross, for risking his life to save the life of an American Marine Corps officer in Afghanistan. That young man showed courage under fire, willing to lay down his life for a friend and colleague. Whilst this particular act of bravery pales in significance when compared to the action of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, it does show to the degree of what can be expected of friends and comrades. There was a parable about a Jewish merchant who fell among thieves. It was not a Jew that went to his aid, it was a Samaritan, someone, a complete stranger. And dropping down to verse 15 now. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus has laid out a code of practice for his friends, and he calls us his friends, having told us, on whom the ends of this age have come, what is to come. We have the outline. We have been told what to expect. Friends stick together in times of need and do their best to help each other. In his sermon, well, it's 4 weeks ago now, Mr. Pippy went through a whole raft of promises that our Father in heaven has given us. If we do whatsoever we are commanded to do. These are not merely empty promises either. They are there if we meet the conditions of friendship that we have signed up to. Turning back just a few pages now to John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we found the third point. This is where our Saviour tells us how his friends, that is, his disciples, those who are expected to do their best, to live by the code which has been laid down to us by Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ expects us to be doing and the manner in which we are expected to conduct our lives. In this passage in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we read the following. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. Jesus Christ tells us that we are his friends, if we keep his commandments. Here we see again that showing love to one another shows us to be a people who accept a level of discipline, of having an attitude of outgoing care and concern for others. We may be a group of very different people, from different cultures, different ethnic origins, but we must show that love and concern for each other that our Saviour and our Heavenly Father extend to each of us. It does not stop there. We have to realise that God has a plan for all humanity. He loves all those who are potentially his children in his future family. To that degree, we too must love our neighbour, whoever and wherever that person, he or she, may be. Friendship does not stop with loving brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, or even with love towards the brethren. It should include all of mankind. It does not matter that we are hated by others. Others hated Christ before they hated us. We are expected to be a group of people in training to become the sons of God when Christ our Saviour returns to this earth. To be a people of love and goodwill towards others, especially towards the family of God. So we live by a code of conduct, which requires us to be a friendly people. Because we are to be a friendly people, we have to be prepared to go to the extremes of friendship, being prepared to put our physical lives on the line if necessary. And then we are expected to love one another, even as Jesus Christ loves us, regardless of all and any difference. Jesus Christ laid down his life for each and every one of us. He expects us to love one another and to be prepared to go the extra mile, so to speak, and to show love to others in all circumstances. If we are to have friends, we must show ourselves to be friendly. It is all-encompassing, and if you'll pardon the pun, it's also all-embracing. Remember the question posed by Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Friends walk together. Friends show love towards each other. Friends lay down their lives for each other, sometimes literally, sometimes metaphorically, but always in consideration for the friend. This is what is expected of each one of us. This is what we have signed up to, that we should be friendly.